And the first book, just pick the roll by looking around the room. Okay. A quorum being present, Representative Ward moves that the minutes of Thursday, January 11th be included. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are accepted. Okay. We're starting this morning. We're starting with the, Representative Patton, you can introduce yourself since you were the only one who wasn't here. But
hi, everyone. I'm Representative Joyce Pepin. I'm in my second term. I represent District 32A, which includes part of Maple Grove, also Rogers, Dayton, Aspen, Corcoran, Greenfield, Hanover. I think that's everything, and I apologize for missing the last meeting. I was ill, actually.
Okay. Well, so we're going to start with this brief presentation on the history of the Capitol Complex and the Ford Building. There was a terrific slideshow on the proposed renovation, and I'm sure they'll be able to show that to you at any time. But we're now doing the physical follow-through on what that presentation was. Anyway, who's giving the brief presentation on the history of the Capitol Complex and the Ford Building? With another.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Nancy Stark. I'm the Executive Secretary of the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board. You may see our initials reading the CAP Board for short, and that's how we are designated. I have with me Mr. Paul Mandel, who is our Senior Planner and also our Zoning Administrator for the Board. And we have Jim Rhodes, who is also with us, who will address the Ford Building. I'd like to give you just a brief overview of the CAP Board. We are a bipartisan board of 10 members, chaired by the Lieutenant Governor, and we have legislative representatives, as well as representatives from St. Paul, appointed by the mayor, and representatives appointed by the governor. Each of our members serves about a four-year term, and we have three architectural advisors who advise the board, and we have a staff of four. I will address the fact that we have a mission that is to preserve the historical character of the Capitol District and also the Capitol Building. We have a zoning and design rules, guidelines that we adhere to, and this entails a 60-block area around the Capitol Building. We also have jurisdiction that is set by the legislature for that district. We have approximately all of the Capitol Mall. We also have areas in downtown St. Paul of which we have jurisdiction where there are state government property. I'll have Paul go through a little of the explanation of our district and what has been happening in the Capitol area over the last 6 to 7 years.
Madam Chair, Paul Mandel with the Capitol Area Planning Board. As you are aware, and if you follow legislative history, we have the jurisdiction for both siting and design on memorials on the Capitol grounds. That started back with the Vietnam Memorial back in the early 90s, and we have about four memorials that we're in various stages of progress on now. We are also responsible on siting of state buildings and design of state buildings. Most recently, in the past 7 years, we've had the Revenue Building, we've had the Ag Health Office and Lab, and the DHS Human Service Building, which is across the freeway but still within the Capitol area. Then we have zoning authorities. About half the district is privately owned, the Sears Complex, the Hospital Complex, et cetera, and 5 blocks downtown St. Paul on the south side of the freeway. Then the half is at state property. And most of the work we do is generated through some form of design competition. So whether it be the state buildings or memorials.
Any questions?
This is a question I think which probably should have been answered last year, but it was asked because it was asked 2 years ago. To go back to one of the historic, now that he's no longer here, I guess we can call him a historic figure in the legislature, Representative Krinke, who noticed the two, and since I pass them every time I'm driving in, I think about him and I think about his question, the two blue pillars that we see on our 8th that are within, he just wanted to point out, particularly to new legislators, the kind of attention to detail that one can give. Notice that those were within the cap board borders and wanted to know what the cap board had done with the approval of those two things. And at the point, I didn't know that they were going to be quite as permanent as they are. I think I may not be as negative towards them as Representative Krinke probably was, but what happened with the two blue pillars, which are obviously still there, and cap board? Did the cap board ever consider them or approve of them or do anything with them or what?
Madam Chair, that's a very interesting question indeed. Representative Krinke always reminds me of those two when I see him. But,
well, now they remind me of Representative Krinke, and she's no longer here.
To let them know you missed them.
Yes.
Frankly, Western State Park, that is right across the street from that particular memorial, was developed through St. Paul Public Art. And it has been a great benefit to the neighborhood, I must say, to have that kind of artwork and open space for the residents in the area. And this particular sculpture is and had not come before the board. But when we talked with Public Art St. Paul, their response was, this is a temporary location. And I would add that some of the pieces from the park have been sold or gone to other locations. And you remind me that this is, in fact, a temporary situation and probably should come under scrutiny by their board that it be relocated at some point in the near future. We would agree with Representative Krinke that it seems out of place in that particular location.
Okay, and I guess the border is the street, really?
Yes, right, our border, actually, Madam Chair and members, goes down the middle of the street.
In it which just moves it to the other side of the street. Okay. Well, just wanted to use it as an example to committee members about the kinds of things they can look at if they so choose.
Yes.
And so you're going to get back to us at some point and tell us about how temporary. It's now temporary on 4 years, is that it, or?
Perhaps a little bit longer than 4 years.
Well, time goes by so fast.
Madam Chair, I will copy you on my letter to Christine Quotas Larson.
Okay, great. And let's make sure that it's just a letter of inquiry. It's not a letter of artistic condemnation. Okay, all right. Mr. Rose?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. the Ford Building has been standing since the approximately 1913. It was conceptualized in 1913, and a few years later, they built it and started manufacturing actual Ford automobiles. The Ford Building is on University Avenue. If you just would look over that way, you would see it. It's a red brick building. Ford Motor Company, interestingly enough, did the same thing in those days as Target does today. They build the same building all over the country. So there's over 20 of them still standing, which I have to say because the chair will say it if I don't, not one of them has been demolished. Correct, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. And the legislature wanted to figure out what they could do with that piece of property on University Avenue. And in 2005, they convened, asked for a study group, and that was held through the Department of Administration. We had members on it, and in your package, you'll see all the people that are involved in it, from senators, representatives, members of the community, members from the church next door, members from the neighborhood, city of St. Paul, and we all got together and thought about different things that they could do with the Ford Building. Some of the magnificent suggestions were to have a coffee shop there, like a Panera, Starbucks, that type of thing. Another idea was to make it a retirement home for former legislators. This was brought up. Another one was to have a Ford Museum, or maybe a combination of both the retired and the museum, to be housed there as well. And in the end, after five meetings throughout the rest of the fall and into the spring, they came up with a consensus of where they want to be. The building is historical. It has some uniqueness to it. The building is currently empty. It has no heat and no water, and it does not have a certificate of occupancy right now, so nobody can go in there from the city of St. Paul and let anybody go in there. And the building is also connected in the tunnel, which gives it some great use potential. In the discussion of the Ford building, we talked about many other usages, including swing space for renovation of the Capitol. We talked about it as perhaps housing at some point the Attorney General's office, back there again, which were there back in the 70s. We talked about even having it for all the small boards and commissions to be operated out of there. And the point was, don't tear it down. Now, on the outside of the building, just to let you know, there were bricks up on top that you see are not there. They were starting to crumble, so we took them down and numbered them so they can be replaced. There's no any idea of tearing it down has not even been a thought. We are preserving the building. It has a chain link fence around to make sure it stays up and is able to be reused at some point at the discretion of the legislature, decide if they want to put some money into it to revitalize it. The key is that the building is historical. It has a great location. It has the tunnel. And for those reasons, the idea is just to keep it going. It's in mothballed currently as we speak. The In the notes, you will find that the group did come together with a consensus of different issues of how we can address it at some point. So if you read the executive summary, you'll get a little snapshot of where it is. If you want to read the whole report, it's actually quite interesting and kind of gives you an idea of all the discussions that took place. Any questions?
Rick Danforth. Could you tell me, please, on the map from the plant manager division, on which by lot C there, which building is the Ford building? It's one of those two vacant buildings, I'm assuming?
It's to the left. The other building should be the church. It's right next door to the church.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, Madam Chair, Representative Ward.
Thank you.
I should remember my protocol from old days.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. And so I guess is there like an open RFP out on this, or some, or a word of mouth RFP out, or something like that?
Madam Chair, an RFP for what?
What to do with it?
Well, actually, the Ford Building, if the wisdom of the legislature is to put in about $13 or $14-15 million, it can be revitalized and reused again. That's the question. If until then, we're on a kind of a holding pattern.
But I guess. There's some problem with public-private use in it. How much of it could be? There's some, because it's, if we put state bond money into it, there's a restriction on how much could be private.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, this was a discussion that came up quite a bit. Due to the constitution of the state and state law, we can only, in building was built with state money through bonding and that type of thing. You can only do so much for private ventures. They could have part of it revitalized by the private sector, but it would be a small percentage. In your report, it will give the percentage. I believe it's about 50% or less. I know it's under 50%. 5%. Okay. 5% can be for public. The rest of it has to be for state use. And the question then becomes, actually, if you're going to put all that money into it, you know, and then you want the, I assume the question becomes, you know, why can't we put a nice coffee shop in there? The neighbor could use it or that type of thing. It would have to be limited to that space, but the cost of building it out to get it ready for them may make the rents very prohibitive.
Okay. Okay. But if we put...
Madam Chair, I feel that you're trying to you want to make a statement, go ahead.
No. If we want to, if we were to, by some reason, if we were to decide, well, I guess this is a question. Suppose, could we split off what we're going to do with it? Could we do part of it with bonding money and part of it with general fund money? If we did the whole thing with general fund money, I assume none of those restrictions would apply. Just the bonding problem. It's not the state ownership that's a problem. It's the use of the bond
money. Oh, boy, I'm going to need the bus on this one.
Oh.
Madam Chair, Dana Badger, Department of Administration. As we understand it from Peter Salson at the Department of Finance and members, if any bonding money went into the creation or substantial renovation of the property is for there ever after. It has that bond money associated with it. So however we might fund the improvements really becomes academic in terms of those restrictions of public use.
So there's no possibility of a shared bonding, of shared bonding and shared other funding, that part of it could be bonded for.
And members, I think the frustration that we felt is the limitation that only 5% of the usable square footage could be dedicated to private purposes. So
how is that in the Constitution? Is that in as 5% or is that someone's interpretation?
Madam Chair and members, to be honest with you, I don't recall. I know it's something that the Ford Building Study Group spent significant amount of time on. I'd have to go back and refresh my memory from their findings to give you the answer to that question. There would be another alternative, which would be to declare the property surplus to state use. And I think to do that for a primary building with that kind of capability in the Capitol complex would be odd at best. So
I guess, again, looking at the pointed out to me in the report on page 10, the constraints, it doesn't say under federal and state laws, the state can lease up to 5% of a state-owned building for unrelated purposes. So the answer is the clarification on changing that 5%.
Madam Chair, that's correct. And there is one other issue. I hate to keep being a problem raiser here, but
no,
the cost of renovating that facility is extensive. There is no heat plant in the building currently. So the $13 to $15 million price tag associated with it, which we discussed last year, does provide a heat plant, but provides almost nothing else in terms of renovation of the building. And if we were to fully renovate it as an office building, much like the other state office buildings around the Capitol complex, the cost then needs to be recovered in the rent. And that rent then becomes prohibitively expensive for the agencies. They can find equivalent or cheaper property in the private sector as well as elsewhere in the Capitol complex. So there was, as you may remember, Representative Loeffler had a proposal which would have helped subsidize the renovation cost of the historic property.
Yes, right. But that's also a thing. No, I guess what we're interested in are the things that can be changed by law rather than things that are bound us by the Constitution. And Representative Portman's going to figure out how to make it a sustainable building that will run all by itself without any cost to anybody. So, okay. Unless there are any other questions on that issue, I think we're ready to take off on our tour.
Yes, Madam Chair, members, we're just going to give you just a brief orientation.
Okay.
Mr. Bjornberger is going to come back up and give you an overview before we get started.
And I understand we're doing better than the Agriculture Committee that had to walk over to the Ag Building yesterday outside. So we're better off for this one.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, we won't have to go outside.
Okay, you need to say who you are.
Michael Bjornberg, I'm with HDA.
Okay.
Thank you for inviting me back. I was here last week and gave a presentation. You should have a small packet we gave you. I'll hold them up. This is a tour of a floor plan of the basement of the building. And the dark area is the corridor we're going to walk, and the gray areas are the areas we're going to attempt to get into. I will caution some of these areas are very difficult to get into and will require bending over. I'll show you what is powering the Capitol building now. Another one, colored floor plan. I brought this up, showed this last week. This is the proposed design for that level, so we can refer back and forth as we walk through. And then the third one you've got is an early sketch with the expansion of the Capitol in front of it, so you can begin to see the minimal impact. And this is early. We are currently doing a colored version of this, too, that we should have ready by the end of the week. So we'll walk over. A lot of these spaces are very tight. We may have to go in small groups. We will show you the mechanical systems in the building, electrical systems, and I'll tell you the age of them and their condition and what areas of the building they provide. Okay?
Okay, thanks. Yes.
Do you have any guidelines on how I give this tour?
No. You walk and talk and we'll kind of hang out around you. And I guess we need to, I'm just trying to think of what we officially do. We're certainly not going to come back to the committee to adjourn. So I guess we adjourn now and go on.
Are there any questions on any stuff I've given out before we move on?
Okay. My lead Republican says that's right, so we'll do that. Okay.
Feel free to ask any questions on the way. We have plenty of backup that will be with us on the tour to help.
The committee is adjourned to the